Today's scripture comes from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from those I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of God for the people of God.
I think in the later services when I do a children's sermon, I'm going to stand up instead of trying to sit down and get up. I don't get up as quick as I used to. Yes, we did a lot of giving and receiving at our house. And one of the things that we received was a coal from my grandchildren. And my wife got it, and now she gave it to me because we do a lot of sharing as a family. Have you noticed how we use certain common greetings when we meet people? Like, "How are you?" Or, "Where have you been?" Or, "What's new?" Now, interesting is that we don't really want to know, but it's a way of greeting people. I found out that we don't really want to know one time, and years ago, and I was associate pastor in a church in Austin, one of the leaders of the church that I felt close to said, "How you doing?" And I was having a tough week. Several things were going wrong, and I told him about them. And then I found out later that he told the senior pastor that embarrassed him. He didn't really want to know about things. So sometimes I think we really do want to know. I think some of the people here in this church, when they ask, they really want to know. But some of us, it's just a way of greeting. I want to pick up on the last one of these greetings this morning. "What's new?" Probably we don't answer that one very well, but it's a good question, because 3 days from now, we'll have a new year, and we won't ever need those calendars again. I heard about a man who saved all of his calendars in case those years ever came back. That's kind of silly, but it didn't work. I like to deal with the idea of newness. To me, New Year's is a good time to look at my life, and I want to share with you some of the things that I have discovered. First thing I discovered is that new, N-E-W, is controversial, that we have different opinion about new. Some of us feel that there's nothing new. The book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, "There is nothing new under the sun." So we always think, well, it isn't changed. It's the same old stuff. Same old, same old, same old. Other people like to be cynical about new things. They like to hear us talk about our new car or our new something, our new family member, new experience. And they like to put a pin in it and pop it. Like you say, "Wasn't it a wonderful Christmas Eve service?" "Yeah, but they ran out of bread." Don't you like the weather that we've had? Yeah, but it's dry. Didn't we have a wonderful Christmas? Yeah, but I had a better one last year. That kind of cynical, pop the balloon. There are some people who get a lot of pleasure out of doing that. But I don't, and I don't, I resent it. When I'm really up on something, to have someone stick a pin in me. Then there are those who almost worship new. They like new. And whenever something is presented as a new thing, they go for it. They consider that new is good. And they like to turn the page and forget the past and move to new. I guess I'm one of those. I'm sort of open to new things, but not rapidly. I take my time getting around to the new things. You won't find me in a line at Best Buy to buy the latest smartphone. Some people were there like all night long. I'm not one of those, but I'll consider almost all the things that are new. The writer of Revelation was one of those, was third type person. He was open to new. Now, I don't preach from the book of Revelation very much, probably a handful in years, because there's so much symbolism that we don't quite understand all that it's saying. But I think this scripture is pretty obvious, that God, unhappy with the world, unhappy with you and I, has sent to us a new world, a new identity for us. God comes down and dwells among us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, that God up there becomes God here, and it is good. I think we need to look at newness in the life of our own and in the world. God needs us to be open to what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. God has prepared for us new things, new experiences, and we are to accept them and put them into our life, not resist them, not to become cynics, not to become negative, but to become positive and open for what God brings to us. I made a list of things that I believe we can do as new people. Yeah, I got my pages mixed up. I thought I needed to be specific about newness of what I'm talking about. So here are some things that I believe apply to us. I want to encourage you to do these things. First of all, to let go of the past. Some of us carry around with us guilt and resentments, years old, and they're not helping us. We think that getting back at someone who's done something to us, all we have to do is not talk to them, resent them, reject them. But who does that hurt? That hurts us. So if you have within you some old hurts, some old angers, let them go. Let them go, and you'll be better off. Another thing I think we can do in newness is to be more aware of the people around us. Some of us need to be more aware of people that we encounter all the time, but we don't recognize them. We don't relate to them. We ignore them. I'm one of the friendliest people to grocery checkout persons, persons in stores. I like to say hello. And I try not to just say, how are you? But to say something about, I like your store. I like your smile. I like being here. I like trading in this store because of you. That one across the street is a pretty friendly church. To us as a church. So let us in our newness, be aware of people around us. Be sensitive to other people's needs. Some people need a bowl of soup from us, not a bouquet of flowers. And so we have to be careful in our response to respond to what is needed. I remember buying a car in Weimar, Texas, from the owner of the Brazier Chevrolet dealer. We went over to Weimar. We lived in Schulenburg, but went to Weimar because that's where his office was, thinking he would give a Methodist preacher a good deal. He was a Methodist. So we were walking around looking at his cars that he had for sale, and almost all of them were green. And I said, "Don't you have anything besides green? Why do you have so many green cars?" He said, "Because I like green." He wasn't thinking about what we wanted. He was thinking about what he wanted. We need to think about, in our relating to people, what do they need from us? Thirdly, I believe all of us ought to try to do something loving to someone every day. Every day. It can be someone in a store. It can be a family member, a neighbor, a church member. I encourage us in this new year to do something loving at least one a day. I encourage you also to stand for positive things. Don't be negative people. Don't be balloon poppers. Stand for positive things. When your cup is 50%, think about how that's 50% full, not 50% empty. My mother, when her car got to one-third or a fourth down, was still three-fourths full, looked for the nearest gas station because she was almost out of gas, she said. But she had three-fourths left. Try to build up people. Try to lift them up instead of tear them down. That's a new thing for some of us. For many of us, these are not new things. We've already been doing these. But like a farmer who wanted to put his seed deeper in the ground, some of us need to lower our plow. We're working on this level. We need to lower our plow to a deeper level. I think that the questions that they ask us to become ordained, we laughed at them when we came to be ordained. Because one of the questions is, do you intend to go on to perfection? What? We would. But they were serious. They encouraged us to know that you never get good enough that you can stop trying. You always try to improve. Always try to be better. This is spiritual growth that I'm talking about. Become better all the time. Now, I may not make it to perfection, and you may not either, but we're all encouraged to strive to be better, to do more. Like the farmer, lower your plow. Plow deeper. Be involved more than you are. These are some scriptures that are saying the same thing. First of all, from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. For some reason, my body clock has changed in the last few months. I now go to bed early, and I get up early. And I'm the only one in my family that does that. So my wife is still watching TV when I go to bed, and she's in bed when I get up. But what I've enjoyed is the sunrises. You really miss a lot when you don't get up before sunrise. The sunrises remind me, the one this morning, pink and red, reminded me that every new day is a good day not to be spoiled by memories and guilt of the past, but as a new day. And I love the scripture that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad in it. I think that kind of attitude is a healthy attitude. It enables us to be more Christian. It enables us to accept new things without reservation and put them on in our life. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise is in the assembly of the faithful. We're the faithful here in praising in the assembly. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. See, every day is open. Every day has possibilities. We don't need to carry yesterday with us, and we don't need to live in the future, but enjoy today. I tend to live more in the future than the present, in worrying. I worry ahead of time. I worry about things that's going to happen next Christmas. And someone said, why don't you quit dealing so much with the future? Why are you worried about the future? It hasn't happened yet. Well, I guess you're right. And I'm trying harder to be concerned about today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. It's in that sense that I share with you one of my favorite quotes. I am not afraid of tomorrow, for I have seen the past. I'm not afraid of today. I'm not getting it right. I'm not afraid of tomorrow, for I have seen yesterday, and I love today. Let us not be afraid of tomorrow. Let us be open to new things, because we have seen the past, and we love today. I wish for you a happy new year. I encourage you to not just make New Year's resolutions that you break in a week or two or less. I usually make it about a week. But think about your own personal growth, ways that you can accept new people, new ideas, new experiences, and go forward in your Christian life. Happy New Year. Happy New You. In Jesus' name, amen.